This is in the matter of Irving Tobin. May we please have the appearances of counsel?
Stephen Zweig, Deputy Ethics Counsel, on behalf of the Office of Attorney Ethics.
If your honors please, Raymond S. Londa, L-O-N-D-A, an attorney from Elizabeth on behalf of Irving Tobin, the respondent.
Thank you. Mr. Londa, after you give your remarks, if Mr. Tobin would like to address the court, with your permission, he will have that opportunity.
Thank you very much, Justice.
Okay. Mr. Zweig?
Thank you. Justice Albin and members of the court, good afternoon. We're here on an order to show cause based on a motion for temporary suspension, which the Office of Attorney Ethics filed because due to the respondent, Irving Tobin's failure to cooperate in both the random audit that we had conducted and an ensuing investigation. Now, the fact remains that for almost 3 years, the respondent has failed to cooperate with the OAE's investigation. As early as June of 2018, the OAE notified respondent of numerous deficiencies, and record-keeping deficiencies, such as that there were client ledger cards with a large number of debit balances. There were an active trust ledger balances. There were old outstanding checks that needed to be resolved. Attorney personal funds were being commingled with client trust funds, and he was not preparing monthly three-way reconciliations. One of the things that was most disturbing is that our reconciliation revealed that he was maintaining over $800,000 in debit balances on his client ledger cards. So what happened was from 2018 onward, he was advised to correct those deficiencies in the random audit. He was advised to produce records. He did not do so. So our office opened an investigation. And during the course of that investigation, he was repeatedly advised to correct the deficiencies and provide the information that we requested to make sure he was complying with his responsibilities. He did not do so and has not cooperated. And as a result, we filed this motion for temporary suspension. During the pendency of the motion for temporary suspension, we also filed a complaint, and he failed to answer the complaint. So we then certified the matter to the Disciplinary Review Board, the DRB, as a default. He then retained Mr. Londa, and Mr. Londa, on his behalf, filed a motion to vacate the default. We opposed that motion. In connection with that motion to vacate the default, respondent filed a verified answer to the complaint, and the answer basically admitted all the allegations of the complaint, that he had committed the various record-keeping violations and that he had failed to cooperate. The DRB recently denied that motion to vacate the default and indicated that they will be determining the matter on the papers. Now, in connection with this motion and after Mr. Londa was retained, he did purport to provide more information, more records, and what he basically did was he submitted updated and revised client ledger cards. The problem is that he didn't provide any backup information for those ledger cards. So as far as we know, the last time we looked at his bank records, he had $400,000 in his trust account. But there's still these unaccounted for balances, debit balances of $800,000. And we have no backup for what he's saying on the ledger cards. He hasn't provided us with the other records. And that's outlined in the affidavit of disciplinary investigator Alan Fogel. So we're in a situation here where we don't have the records. He's not cooperated. And we have no choice but to seek his temporary suspension. Now, the order to show cause did ask whether the court should initiate proceedings under Rule 1:20-12B, and that's a disability inactive. We do not think that there is evidence which would warrant putting Mr. Tobin or the respondent on disability inactive. That rule says that we need evidence in order to support such a motion. We need evidence which, quote, reasonably brings into question the capacity of an attorney to practice law, whether by reason of mental or physical infirmity or illness. We did ask Mr. Londa whether his client was interested in pursuing disability inactive. He indicated he is not interested in that. Moreover, I believe in one of his certifications, he says that while he is hard of hearing, he does not suffer from any physical or mental infirmity. So there doesn't seem to be any basis for a disability inactive, for him to be on disability inactive pursuant to the rule. And the order to show cause also asked if there was a basis for the appointment of an attorney trustee under Rule 1:20-19A2. And that rule says that the assignment judge can put an attorney or can order the appointment of an attorney trustee when an attorney is otherwise unable to carry on the attorney's practice temporarily so that client's matters are at risk. But you do need proof, quote, proper proof of fact, proper proof of that fact. And again, there's no evidence that Mr. Tobin, that the respondent is unable to carry on his duties. This seems to be, from what we can tell, this seems to be the result or due to his failure to cooperate. He's just failed to cooperate. He's ignored our repeated requests, and there doesn't seem to be any basis for either one of those avenues, if you will. So for all of those reasons, we would urge the court to order his temporary suspension.
Do any members of the court have any questions that they would like to pose to Mr. Swag? Okay, I just have one. I think just one. It appears that Mr. Tobin has indicated that he's had a number of physical disabilities or infirmities. Am I correct about that?
He did indicate that he suffered some falls. He suffered a couple of falls. So he has said that, but we don't have any, as I said, we don't have any medical evidence of any mental incapacity or infirmities. But yes, he did certify that.
There was, I believe, a certification from his secretary as well.
I believe you're right.
And she indicated as well that he had some physical infirmities. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Anyone else have any questions at this time? Okay, thank you, Mr. Zweig. Mr. Londa?
Justice Albin, members of the court, thank you very much for giving me an opportunity to address you. I'm not really used to this kind of medium, but I want you to know that I'm standing out of respect that I was taught in 1964 when I clerked for Judge Feller. In any event, in the certification that I prepared for Mr. Tobin, which was submitted to the Disciplinary Review Board and hopefully which found its way up to the court, I outlined the medical difficulties which he has experienced starting in February of 2018. And I don't have to read them, but he had cardiac arrest. He had fallen and broken his nose. He had fallen and broken his shoulder. He has sustained a lip injury in 2020. His secretary of 15 years suffered illness. Unfortunately, I was not consulted until early October. And I would like to think that had I been engaged at an earlier time, we wouldn't be here today. I have done what I can do to try and reconstruct the information which has been lacking and which clearly should have been provided. I've known Mr. Tobin probably all of my professional life, and what brings him here today, I think, is a result of age and not a result of dishonesty. He has indicated to me, as have members of his family with whom I have conferred at length, that he is ready to call it a career. And what I am asking the court to do on his behalf, not by way of excuse for the inactivity and the, I don't want to say disregard of the requests for information which have been made by the Office of Attorney Ethics, but I think based upon my knowledge and history of him, what has happened here is a result of basically age and a deterioration of his ability to function as he did 62 years ago when he was admitted. I understand that there have been several minor infractions that he's sustained through the years, but there is no dishonesty that I'm aware of. And while the record keeping leaves a lot to be desired, we have done our best to reconstruct and present whatever evidence was available to negate any thought that there is misappropriation. I don't believe that's the case. The backup for what I'm saying, I cannot provide because it has not been given to me, and I don't think it's because of any reticence on the part of Mr. Tobin. I think it's because it can't be located. And after conferring with his secretary on numerous occasions, I think it's just misplaced, and I think that he cannot deal with the situation which is confronting him. I would ask on his behalf respectfully that he be allowed to resign from the practice under Rule 1:20-22A, notwithstanding the pendency of several complaints that have been filed, or the one complaint that's been filed and current investigation on something else which is going on. I think that if he is allowed to resign, he does it honorably, and that rule does not remove the ability of the ethics office to continue to investigate the alleged improprieties. And under Rule 1:1-2, it seems to me that the court has the authority and the ability to relax any rule when doing so would serve the interest of justice. And all I can say is that you're dealing here with an individual who basically honorably has practiced law for 62 years, has served the public well, and is now in the last stages of basically life. I think he is entitled to exit the profession with honor and dignity. I would ask that you give him that opportunity. He's prepared to do so. I don't want to suggest that he consent to disbarment. I don't think that's the way that this career should end. And that basically is what I'm requesting on his behalf. And I will continue. If you permit him to resign, I will represent to you that I will continue to work with the Office of Attorney Ethics to satisfy it that there has been no significant misappropriation or any misappropriation of money. That's basically what I have to say, and I thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Mr. Thank you, Mr. Londa. Now,
yes, sir.
The issue before us today is a petition for Mr. Tobin's immediate temporary suspension. So I'd like you to address that, because you've heard the representative from the Office of Attorney Ethics, Mr. Zweig, indicate a concern about the current status of Mr. Tobin's trust accounts. Okay. So that's of grave concern. You've heard the representations about the negative balances in his trust account. So can you address that? The concerns that have been raised. One moment, Mr. Tobin. We'll get to you. Mr. Londa is going to address this first.
Justice Albin, the records of the trust account conceitedly have not been what they should be. But there has been an identification by the auditor from the Office of Attorney Ethics in the initial audit that there were 80 some ledger sheets that required explanation. From the time I got into this on October 7 until the present time, I have been in touch with Mr. Tobin and his secretary, and we have submitted to the DRB, and I hope to the court, the ledger sheets that were in question, which have been brought current and balanced. There is one sheet that I'm aware of that has approximately $900 in it, which is called the pennies account. And it's my understanding that the pennies account was utilized to record deposits that had been made, which at the end of a transaction would have a very small balance left, $1, $2, so forth. And that balance, to my knowledge, is approximately a little better than $900 at the moment.
When you say to your knowledge, is that based upon your own review of the records, what Mr. Tobin has told you, or what a certified public accountant has told you? What's the basis of your knowledge?
It's based upon the conversations that I have had with Mr. Tobin's secretary, who has been working, I think, rather diligently in trying to reconcile the accounts and the ledger sheets. It's based upon what Mr. Tobin has told me. There are not available all of the trust account statements for the past 6 years. We have provided most recently the records of the trust account and the backup statements for, I think, 2016 and 17. I have not been provided with the others, but from what I gather, there are no shortages. There have been no complaints that I'm aware of by any client. Mr. Tobin is in the process right now, Justice, of winding down I'm not sure how many open matters he has, but I don't think there are very many. And he is certainly understanding that he just cannot continue to practice law and is not taking on any new matters.
Would you oppose the appointment of an attorney trustee in the interim?
Well, the answer is no, but I don't think it's necessary because I don't think you've got that much going on in the office from what I can see to justify that kind of oversight. And I am prepared to continue working with the Office of Attorney Ethics to try and reconstruct whatever has not been reconstructed, but I have not had a sufficient opportunity time-wise to, for example, order bank statements from, if they're available, from 2018, 19, and 20. But I think that they are probably retrievable.
So I read a letter that Mr. Tobin had written to the Office of Attorney Ethics a year ago, I think it was in October, stating that he had engaged the services of an accountant. I thought it was name was Mr. Rosen. And Mr. Rosen apparently was going to be reviewing the records and reporting to the Office of Attorney Ethics. Do you know what became of that?
I'm not sure of that, Justice. Mr. Tobin may be able to answer that question. Yes.
So far from what I've heard, you've seen, you believe, but you have no documents. You haven't engaged in document review. You've spoken to the secretary. You've spoken to Mr. Landa, who, by your own statement, it may be having some difficulty with memory. But you haven't really gotten to the meat of what's going on. You have no documentation, no paperwork that I can tell that you have. And you just said that we probably don't need someone to be appointed, but this court can't go on what you think you've seen, what you maybe you thought. It needs to be, clients need to be protected more than that. So I'm wondering why you don't think someone else would be appropriate.
Justice, I have reviewed the records which were sent to me. And from what I can see, based upon those records, I don't think there's any shortage.
But have you conducted any independent investigation, gone to the office to look for records or ask for other than the documents they send you, have you done any independent investigation as to any further?
I have not gone
to obtain bank accounts, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I have not gone to Mr. Tobin's office only because of the concern I have over the COVID situation.
Okay.
I haven't had anybody in my office since March, except my secretaries. And so I'm somewhat limited.
That does change things a bit.
Yeah, I'm somewhat limited in what I was able to do. And I've only been in this now since October 7.
I've done the best
I could.
Do you know whether or not the Office of Attorney Ethics has had the opportunity to review all the records that you have seen?
I think that they probably have not, because I wasn't supplied with a number of these until the middle of last week. And I sent them down to the Office of Attorney Ethics, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday, by overnight delivery. And when I spoke to Mr. Zweig this morning, he told me that he had not yet seen that box. It was a huge box that probably weighed 10 pounds. So I do not think that they have had an opportunity to review what I sent down there. And it was not everything that they had asked for, but it was everything that had been supplied to me. And I did go through that.
Do other members of the court have questions of Mr. Landa?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mr. Zweig, you'll have a chance to respond. After Mr.
I had actually just one or two.
Go ahead.
Have the documents and files that you've reviewed, Mr. Landa, been presented to the Office of Attorney Ethics?
I'm sorry, say it again.
The documents and records you reviewed to confirm that there are no negative balances or outstanding balances, have they gone to the Office of Attorney Ethics?
Yes, they have. And they were in the form of the ledger sheets, which were the subject of the original audit from 2017 or 18. There were 80 some, which which were balanced out, 80 of them, and then there were five that were left. And I subsequently was able to get my hands on those. They were delivered to me, and there was one that was still open, and that was the it's labeled pennies, and that's the account that accepted, I guess, or received a dollar here and a dollar there over the years.
I just want to ask.
That only had about $1,000. Is that right, sir?
Yes.
The pennies only had $1,028, something I got in.
It was under $1,000.
Right. I just wanted to ask Mr. Zweig, have you had a chance to review those documents and confirmed whether or not there are outstanding balances or negative balances remaining?
I think, Justice Solomon, there might be some confusion. There is another matter pending involving respondent, and I my understanding is the box that Mr. Londa is referring to refers to the other matter. It doesn't involve this case. All the documents that were submitted for this case that Mr. Londa submitted along with his certification in opposition to our motion for temporary suspension, that was reviewed by a disciplinary auditor, Alan Fogel, and it's still insufficient. The documents were still insufficient. He outlines the reason that those documents were insufficient. Specifically, he did provide updated client ledgers, but he didn't provide, and the client ledgers show, you know, that the balances have been resolved, but they don't have the backup, like checks and deposits.
As far as you're concerned, your position is that there remain negative balances totaling $818,000?
Unexplained. There are unexplained negative balances of over $800,000, undocumented, unexplained, negative debit balances, correct.
And ending balances of about $400,000, again, that are unexplained.
Right. The last statement we saw was there was $400,000 in his trust account. So
has there been, other than, I guess there's one matter pending for which there's been some kind of a complaint filed?
You know, I'm a little concerned about how much I can reveal, but yes, there's another matter. There's another investigation, and my understanding was that he provided the records that we're going to get are in relation to that matter, not this matter.
Put that aside, with respect to the 800 that some odd thousand and the 400 some odd thousand, these two accounts that aren't supported by documentation, has there been any complaint made by anybody on behalf of either a client, opposing counsel, bank, property, regarding those matters?
No, there have been no client complaints.
They're solely based upon an audit that was done by your people.
Correct. It's an audit, and you know, as I said, it's been almost 3 years now. We still haven't gotten answers. You know, one would have expected that he would have provided us the records and given us the answers. And even his latest submission to this court is insufficient for all the reasons that Mr. Fogel outlined in his affidavit. You know, one of the concerns we have is you know, an attorney trustee that requires cooperation. It requires that, and many times it'll be an attorney himself or a family member asking the court for the appointment of an attorney trustee, indicating, listen, I have a problem. I have a problem with, you know, physical, you know, I have a medical condition or a drug addiction and I need help. It implies some cooperation. We're not seeing any cooperation here. We haven't seen any cooperation. And that's the concern.
Okay. Mr. Londa, how many current clients does Mr. Tobin still have?
I can't answer that question. I don't know, but I don't think it's very many. Based upon what he has told me and what his secretary has told me. May I just, before you ask Mr. Tobin, may I just respond very quickly to what Mr. Zweig has said? The records which I sent down there which he has not yet seen, are trust account and business account records, which are part of the part of the complaint that is pending now. I don't think you can segregate one from the other. And as soon as I got those records, they were supplied to the Office of Attorney Ethics. They are, yes, in response to partially a grievance that has been filed that is under investigation, but they also pertain to and respond to some of the inquiries and some of the concerns that have been articulated by the Office of Attorney Ethics in the complaint that is now pending before you. I don't think you can segregate one from the other. And the accounting method that he had, the QuickBooks method that he had, is available for review. I will do the best I can if I'm given the opportunity to get the statements that back up the ledger sheets, but I don't have them as we speak.
As I understand it, one of the problems is that while there are these two open matters, this one and the other one that you're not at liberty to discuss, Mr. Zweig, it's not possible to accept essentially a retirement. Is that right?
Yes, Justice Sullivan, that's right.
Is there any reason why, in order to get those resolved and in order to allow Mr. Tobin to retire with honor, that a trustee could not be appointed to help wind these matters up and cooperate with you in the not too distant future?
Justice, I think that might set a bad precedent because I can't tell you how many other times attorneys have asked us, listen, would you let me just retire and be done with it? And the concern we have is that there has to be a consequence for an attorney's failure to cooperate with our
basically office. You're not interested that's in something we what's going on. You want to punish Mr. Tobin for failing to cooperate.
Sorry, sir. Go ahead, Justice Sullivan.
We're not there yet. I am just asking. His goal is to try to retire from the practice of law.
Yes.
Whatever the outcome of this is, whether it's disciplinary action, penalty, punishment, for non-cooperation, for mistakes, for errors, for whatever, whatever the outcome of this is, at some point, in order to get to that outcome, whether it's retirement or punishment, these things have to be resolved, correct?
They have to be resolved as I read the rule, before he could retire.
Assuming you're right, is there any reason why a trustee should not be or could not be appointed to help with Mr. Londa's cooperation, Mr. Tobin's cooperation, your cooperation, wind up these matters so we can finally figure out, is this a punishable matter wanting punishment, or should Mr. Tobin retire? Is there any reason that can't happen?
I think that it may be optimistic to think that an attorney trustee could do that because my only concern, Justice Solomon, is that the concern we have is that his failure to cooperate up to now in our investigation doesn't give us a lot of confidence that he would do any better with the appointment of an attorney trustee. And that's the concern, you know.
How would suspending him do any better for you resolving the issues?
Well, I mean,
other
I
than
think
punishment at this point, how would suspending help you resolve the issues better than a trustee coming in and trying to ferret everything out?
Well, I think it's not about punishing. It's obviously about
protecting. Yes, it is. You want to suspend them. It is about punishment. You said that earlier. So how would punishment now help determine what's missed and what isn't better than a trustee?
Yeah, I'm sorry if I left that impression that we're seeking to punish Mr. Tobin or the respondent. It's not about that at all. It's about protecting the public. And of course, by suspending him now, it would, you know, it would freeze the accounts. He wouldn't be in a position to continue to represent clients. We don't know if there's been misappropriation because we haven't had basic cooperation. We don't know if there's been negligent misappropriation or knowing misappropriation. So by suspending him, it does protect the public, and it prevents potentially other clients from getting funds misappropriated. It can potentially prevents future misappropriations, either unknowing or knowing, in the future. So
wouldn't a trustee in charge of the accounts prevent that also?
And a trustee, if respondent were to provide full cooperation, would not hurt in that. That would obviously help. But I'm cautious as an either or. Doing an attorney trustee as opposed to a suspension.
So let me ask you this question, with respect to an attorney trustee, if one were appointed, would the attorney trustee have control over those accounts? Would his authority supersede that of Mr. Tobin?
He certainly could have that. It would be, that would be something that could be included in the order of appointment, providing an attorney trustee with that kind of control. Yes.
Okay. Let's Wanda, do you have anything further that you'd like to say to the court?
No, I think you've got a pretty good handle on where we are, and I'm comfortable leaving it where it is.
Any other questions of Ms. Alonda by members of the court? Okay, we'll hear from Mr. Tobin now. Mr. Tobin, you have to unmute. Okay.
He was not on mute, I don't think. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. It's unmuted.
Okay, I am Mervyn Tobin. I am now going to speak. I am 96 years old now. In the West, I have my hearing is bad. But other than that, I can not suffer, except for a little bit of memory loss every once in a while. But that's I don't think that I have suffered.
Mr. Tobin, we can't. You have to increase the volume, or you have to speak up. We cannot hear you, or move closer to the mic.
Okay, I have. In the last 6 months, I have taken on no new clients.
Okay.
I'm in the process of semi-retirement. I am processing from clients that have served me for 30, 40, 50 years who don't want to go through another attorney. So I have been taking care of them. As far as my trust account goes, many of the notices that I got from the board, the ethics board, came to me when I was out of the office. I've had a number of, disabilities during the last 18 months. I have stopped driving. I don't drive a car anymore, even though I feel I can, but my wife thinks that it's safer if I don't, so I don't. Okay. I have not taken any more trust accounts. I have examined every other, I have examined my trust accounts, and I say this, I have never taken a dollar from my trust account for personal use. And I say this, and I say this with emphasis, if they can prove that I ever took out any money from a trust account for personal use that I was not entitled to, I want them to prosecute me and put me in jail, because you know why? I know that they will not find anything that I did. I did in the last one find out that I made one mistake. My second.
We're having a little technical problem. I don't know if you can hear us.
I told her to put in the trust account and she took a mistake in it. The amount was $124.65. That's the only instance when money came into my account that belonged in my trust account. But that, except for that instance, which was a mistake, that my secretary made, and I didn't know until much later. I've had to have turnovers in secretaries, incidentally. A woman, a secretary who worked with me for 15 years, suddenly couldn't breathe. In January, this is. She couldn't breathe. She had pain in her kidneys. She couldn't do anything. And she chose to let herself die. That was her choice because she didn't want to get an operation for the lungs and or anything, or go through life without being able to do something like that. But I say again, if they can find, except for that $124 mistake, which has already been corrected, I must say, okay, except for that one mistake, if they can find any amount of a dollar or of anything more than a dollar that by mistakenly got used by me, well, being in jail, because I am so certain that they will not.
Mr. Tobin, may I ask you this question? Mr. Tobin, how many clients do you currently have? Mr. Tobin, how many clients are part of your practice currently?
How many clients?
Yeah, are you servicing at this time?
Well, wait just a minute. I think that I have two, three.
Here it is out in writing.
I think I'm servicing now maybe four or five, but I did have a call from someone who didn't use me for about 10 years. I couldn't even forget that. Then I had to be reminded who they were. So I did take them on because they said they don't want to go to anyone else. The service they got from me cannot be obtained, they said to me, by any other lawyer. And I want you to know that I have been very fortunate. The only way I was able to go to law school is because I Second World War for 39 months. And if the Japanese atomic bomb had not been dropped on them, I would have been dead because I was in the first wave to go into Japan. Okay. But I'm saying this, I take on no new clients, even though I will serve a client. I have two lawyers who have subleased space for me. The second one who just came on about 2 months ago to help me with them, I don't charge him any rent. No. The other fellow's been with me for about 30, 40 years. James Fiore. And
so, Mr. Tobin, may I ask you this question? You forwarded a letter last year to the Office of Attorney Ethics saying that you had retained the services of an accountant. I think the name of the accountant was a Mr. Rosen. I may be off about the name. Whatever became of that?
Mr. Rosen still comes into my office a couple.
We're having some technical difficulties.
Says, used to this goes pretty trusted to use the years. I work with him and I see what I try to get him to help me in doing whatever I can, whenever I can. Now, Mr. Rosen is.
You have to speak up or come closer to the mic, please.
He's been with me about 30. Be retired as it is also.
Okay.
He also has a son who married a woman in Shanghai. And so he goes to Shanghai for a couple of weeks every year to be with his children. Okay.
Do members of the court have any questions they'd like to pose?
No, I think we have enough, Justice Alvin.
Okay.
And what I ask.
Anything else, Mr. Tobin?
I am 96 years old and I want to resign. But I want to finish. Perfect. And again, I state, if they find that I took in any money personally, except for that $124 mistake that happened.
Okay, we're a little frozen here. Hopefully we'll come out of this little
jail.
Okay, Mr. Tobin, we want to thank you. We want to thank you for your remarks. Ms. Lomdy, do you have anything you want to add?
No, sir, I don't. Thank you very much for your patience.
Mrs. Zweig, anything further?
No, Your Honor.
Okay, I want to thank everyone. And we will take this matter under advisement.